Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, January 19th, 2021, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time big book study meeting. Today we are reading from the big book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism. That's chapter 3, and we are on page 30. And we're going to run down to the last paragraph, paragraph 4, and study that one paragraph today only. It begins with, "We are like men who have lost their legs," and ends with, "but hasn't done so yet." Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Grace K, the 12 Traditions, Joanne L. Pardon me. Reading the text today and support, Sherry M., Don B., Dana P., Barbara W. for newcomers and sponsor information, and Robin P. for the announcements at the end of the day. The share ID numbers for this particular 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, let's go with yesterday's Monday, January 18th, 2021 share ID number. That is 16219, 16,219. And then this morning's 7 a.m. meeting, that would be Tuesday, January 19th, 2021, that share ID number is 16224, 16,224. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Grace K. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Hi, Grace.
Good morning, this is Grace K. I'm a compulsive eater from Pennsylvania. Thank you for letting me do service. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Grace K. from Pennsylvania. I will now ask Joanne L. from Rhode Island to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, There is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, that's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 11, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And last, number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass. Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you, Joanne L. from Rhode Island. Appreciate that. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet, good sound recording, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And this option is only the star 1 key function, please, only, and that will keep the line nice and clear. And you may notice if there's otherwise, you might be muted automatically by the service system. Today, we resume the study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We're on page 30, and we're going to unpack paragraph 4 today, which begins with, we are like men who have lost their legs, and ends at the top of 31 with, but it hasn't done so yet. I'd like to ask Sherry M. to get us started by unpacking that paragraph with her experience, strength, and hope, and then we'll open up for a further discussion and conversation after Sherry has had her bit. Hi, Sherry.
Good morning. We are like men who have lost their legs. They never grow new ones. Neither does there appear to be any kind of treatment which will make alcoholics of our kind like other men. We have tried every imaginable remedy. In some instances, there has been brief recovery followed always by a still worse relapse. Physicians who are familiar with alcoholism agree there is no such thing as making a normal drinker out of an alcoholic. Science may one day accomplish this, but it hasn't done so yet. Great paragraph. My name is Sherry M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles, California. And by the grace of God, I can say that I am recovered today. Thank you so much for your service and for everyone who does Team Tuesday. So much is standing out for me in this. First of all, this book was written, I believe, in 1939. So from 1939 until 2021, there has been no other remedy but this book, which means to me that I can take everything that they're saying as my remedy for today in order to be recovered. What worked back then still works. This book is left intact for a reason. So grateful to have found this big book group, strong, healthy OA meeting that goes through the book one paragraph at a time so that somebody like me, who has been in Overeaters Anonymous for 15 and a half years, and I only have a year of being recovered. Why is that? Because the food addiction was cunning, baffling, and powerful. And I put down all of the big ticket items when I walked in the doors of CEA Howe many years ago, when I was busting out of, you know, size 16, had gained 6 sizes in 6 months. I am a full-blown, real compulsive overeater, hope-to-die, hopeless variety. But because I had started following a food plan and I took out all the big-ticket items, the ones that you can't stop eating, right? You eat it and you eat the bag, the cookies and the this and the that. I took all that out, and then I started playing around with other food items for all those years in program, which meant that I was still going to food for comfort. But because I could control the substitution type food items, it left me in a state of an unrecovered state. And I would go long periods of time of having abstinence, always to be followed by a binge of some healthy version. And then it started to turn on me. And then finally I surrendered. And that was over 2 years ago when I first stumbled upon these meetings. And what I know now is that I cannot eat. I surrendered, and it takes pain. I was suicidal. I knew that I didn't want to keep going on like that, and that I was licked. I was licked, and I said, fine, let's take out every substance you're telling me to take out, and I will not fight. And I haven't. And because of that, I now have a relationship with my higher power that I never could have gotten before, even with all of my time in the 12 steps. And going over and over and over. I couldn't do it until I put down the food for comfort. It's either food or it's God. And I can't get to a recovered state without God. That's the only solution, is a higher power. So I will never be normal again. My brain is broken. My body is broken. And I know that, and I have conceded. And there's nothing I can do as of today, as of the 19th of January 2021, my only remedy is the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And because I have followed the dictates in this book, and I do these simple things, and I do them gladly, and I don't miss the food one bit, because the life I have being a recovered woman is beyond anything I could have ever imagined that was in a bag or a box or whatever. So I'm so, so grateful, and I can't wait to hear from all of you. Perfect. Yeah.
Thank you, Sherry M. from Los Angeles, California, for getting us started today with such a powerful impact there. The lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 4, page 30 of the chapter 3, more about alcoholism. We are like men who have lost their legs is where that begins. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and your state, I can take some more information. And before we get into this, I would like to just thank everybody for their experience. We value it very, very much, but we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience as well. There's well over 200 people on this line most days. If you share it on Friday or Monday, tomorrow would be your day to be able to share again. Thank you so much for that consideration. I'm ready to take some names here. Elena P.
Elena R.
Did I hear Evan R. Did I hear Freya? I'm not sure.
Yes,
Kathleen
Freya
W.
Freya, and then Kathleen W. Is that what I heard?
Yes.
Dana P.
Okay. Deb E.
Dana P. and Deb E. Let's go with that line up, okay? That gives me 6 there. Let's see if I have this. I heard Elena, Evan, Freya, Kathleen, Dana, and Deb E. Elena, you're up first. First initial or last name, please, in your state. I missed it.
Good morning, everyone. This is Elena C. from Greer, South Carolina. And I just like this paragraph. See, this whole chapter, it reminds me, it gives me hope. And it reminds me that it's not my fault and it's not a choice that I got this disease or this condition of compulsive overeater. And I was like people who lost their legs. I did not know how to walk. What my walking at this time was just getting from diet in from one diet to another, and I did have brief period of recovery. Then I rested on laurels and I started picking up again. And but the thing is, in my diet, I never gave up the sugar that I'm really, really addicted to. And, you know, it's very sad to me that physicians, yet they have not discovered a treatment for alcoholism, and neither to say that some physicians have no idea of compulsive overeater of food addiction. I don't think that's studied a lot. I know alcohol has been studying more, along with pot, has been studying more by physicians, by the science, than compulsive overeater. And I will never be a normal eater. I will always have this condition. And, you know, but what I need to know is that without a relationship with my higher power, I cannot overcome this. I need to constantly wake up every morning and taper into the spiritual energy of my higher power through prayer, meditation, and this a vision for you that keeps me sane. And I'm so grateful. Thank you for letting me share with that. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Elena C. Evan, you're up next. 3 minutes. A quick star one will unmute you, Evan.
Hi, this is Evan R., compulsive reader, Southern California. When I first started this idea of lack of control and never being able to gain power over the food was very disheartening. I still held on to the illusion that as long as I could follow my diet plan, I would be happy. And I held on that belief for quite some time. It actually was motivating at first when I first started LA about 6 years ago, was that I could follow the diet plan. But now, as I have more experience in my program, when I work with other people, I realize that I wasn't after a diet plan. I was after, like, serenity in my mind of, you know, feeling okay with the way my body looked, feeling okay with the way that I was eating. And it's, I guess, so much more impactful to have that peace of mind, also have that, like, form of self-esteem. Not because, and this is the big thing for me, not because I was following a diet plan or staying abstinent, but because I was essentially having a relationship with my higher power and helping other people. So it takes this like crazy big turn. And then, you know, I see that now as the food is a consequence of, you know, being with my higher power and working with other people, as opposed to my food plan allowing me to be close to my higher power and having, you know, wanting to help other people, which is, for me, it's like a big change, especially over the last year since I've been doing this meeting. And the odd part is, and the irony is, once I stopped, like, controlling the food and thinking about the food, that's when the food was in control. So it's sort of this, like, backwards thing. But I think, like, when I first heard this paragraph, it was like, wow, I'm never going to be able to eat the way I want to eat as long as I try to eat the way I want to eat. I mean, it's just a paradox for me, but that's what I was thinking when I heard this paragraph. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. Evan R. from California. Freya H., Colorado. Good morning. You're 3 minutes.
Good morning. It's Freya H. in Colorado. Recovered compulsive eater bulimic. Thanks, everybody, for your service. And I don't intend to take up 3 minutes, but I just wanted to say that I don't want to be a normal eater today. You know, like, I no longer see this as a big problem that I wish wasn't there, because it's brought me so much in my life. And I've heard people say, you know, if there was some magic pill that I could take that would make this go away, I wouldn't take it, you know, because that isn't even important anymore. And part of, you know, the way that I define a spiritual awakening is just that I see the world differently, and that's part of it. I see my disease differently. Just the same way I can look at the variety of people, and I don't be typically developing people as the right way. I just see that there's a variety of the way that people develop, and that each one has different benefits and different challenges. But when a higher power is running the show, challenges are growth opportunities. You know, my challenges give me a place to grow stronger. And in this program, especially, I get to help people because of this. So if I could take the magic pill and be done, I would completely miss out on all of the promises and gifts of this program, the stuff that really matters, like the body size and the food is just, you know, it's just the tip of the iceberg. That's the stuff that is the least important. I don't want to downplay it, but is compared to the joy and the connection that I get from this, that's the stuff that really matters. So I'm glad that there is no making a normal eater out of me, because instead I'm offered this solution. And although it takes a lot of work, you know, you can say it's both the blessing and the curse, the fact that I have to continue doing this every day, because if I didn't have to, I probably wouldn't. And the fact that I do have to means that I get to, you know, that I commit to it. I put it first. So I hope that's helpful, but I'm feeling a lot of gratitude and for that clarity that this is not, I mean, it is, there's a lot of really horrific, sad, tragic things about this disease, but this is not something that I need to bemoan, you know, the fact that I'm a compulsive eater. I get to celebrate that I'm a compulsive eater who's in recovery for today, and that I get to reach my hand out to help other people who suffer from this. So thank you so much for the opportunity to share. I will pass.
Thank you, Freya H. from California. Kathleen W. from Illinois, you're up for 3 minutes now. And then Dana P. will follow you.
Hi, this is Kathleen W. I'm from Illinois. I usually go to the 7 o'clock, but I thought I'd try this 9 o'clock meeting. And I can get what the woman was speaking about who gave the lead. I so related to what she had to say. She was telling my story. And I was looking at the paragraphs preceding this paragraph, and they, you know, within a couple, when one paragraph that mentions control 4 times, and I was obsessed with trying to control my food. I've been in OA since 2010, and I really haven't come to complete abstinence until just this year, when I started listening to the message Vision for You brought me. And I believe my God brought my soul to this place, because I thought I was abstinent from sugar, and I said I was abstinent from recreational sugar. I was still eating sugar in other forms I wasn't even aware of until I started looking at the ingredients, as I was instructed by my sponsor that I had gotten in a vision sponsor. And so at the beginning of this year, I feel like I was looking for a spiritual experience that I had not had, that I was looking for the spiritual experience that I was hearing about on Vision for You, where it was neutrality towards food and this passion for helping others. I hadn't experienced that in OA, and I was looking for that, and I started saying the prayer, that set-aside prayer. And you know, within a few months, God answered that prayer, and I introduced myself at the newcomers meeting, and from there I got a sponsor, and from there I started putting aside the foods that I was not ever willing to put aside in the 10 years that I was in OA. I really did have like a spiritual awakening, but I'm still at that place, kind of jittery like Bill was, you know, and I'm, you know, I haven't had the great desire to for service and things like that, but I know that I have to find that place, and I have to do the service so that I can remain abstinent and and be in this freedom that I feel. It's just amazing. I think about what's absent, what isn't in my life anymore. And I'm just so grateful for this meeting. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Kathleen W. from Illinois. Next up is Dana P. from California. And then Deb E. will follow you. But in the meantime, I want to let folks know in 6 minutes or less, the lines will be open again for additional comments on the paragraph that we are taking apart today for instruction. And that you will find that on page 30 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, Chapter 3, More About Alcoholism. And it's paragraph 4 that we're unpacking today. We are like men who have lost their legs. It ends with, but it hasn't done so yet. Hi, Dana P., you're 3 minutes now, madam, and then Deb will follow you.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service, and what an honor to be on the line this morning. We are like men who have lost their legs. They will never grow new ones. Wow, this takes me back. I'll try to keep it brief, but I had an uncle when I was a little girl, and he had gangrene in his legs, and I'm talking probably before this book was written, or around that time, actually. He lost his legs from gangrene as a result of smoking. And, you know, what a tragedy, right? He was a star basketball player. He had a sponsorship to Texas A&M, and, you know, all of these great things in his life were destroyed by this loss of his legs. And I knew my Uncle Pat when he was an older man, and he had these wooden legs, and he, you know, this was quite some time ago. I'm 58, so many, many years ago, before prosthetics were great. And he had a hole, and he lived in the mountains, and he had a cup full of rattlesnake rattles. And he talked about what a blessing it was that he had these great wooden legs, because the rattlesnakes couldn't bite his legs. And, you know, I think about Lee Majors, a bionic man, and how much, you know, better, stronger, faster with these bionic parts to his body. And I realized, wow, this disease is my better, stronger, faster. And I'm so incredibly grateful. You know, I had no gratitude about it. I just wanted to get rid of the disease magically somehow, and thinking that that was the one thing I was being punished by God. And through this process of working the steps and connecting with my beloved master, who is a God that lives in me, I realize in this too is God, in this disease is God. It's brought me this beautiful life with my wooden legs, my bionic parts, if you will, through connection to my fellows. And I can be truly, truly of service as a result of this disease. And really, that's all I've ever really wanted in life, to connect and to be happy. And the promises are coming true for me as a recovered person. You know, happy, joyous, and free. We will be happy, joyous, and free. And that is my life today. So thank you so much again, and I will pass with that.
Thank you very much, Dana P., California. Deb E. from Israel, you're up next for 3 minutes, and then just be advised, the lines will be open in 3 for additional comments, paragraph 4, page 30. Hi, Deb.
Hi there. This is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. Thank you so much for your service. This first sentence, "we are like men who have lost their legs, they never grow new ones," for me really drives home this point that I will always be a compulsive overeater. I will always be an addict. Nothing is going to change that. Nothing I can do can change that. But what I do get is a daily reprieve from this disease, provided that I keep a connection with my higher power. And I think if I would have been told, you know, when I started that 20 years in the future, I'd have 18 years of neutrality with the food, I probably would have thought, well, why would I bother continuing to work the steps and practice these principles for that long if the food, you know, if the food obsession was gone? And it's only gone because I continue to do this work, you know, and I need to remember that every day, that if I don't continue the work, what I get is I can get right back into it, you know, like I can't just keep going on something that I did yesterday. And And that last sentence, science may one day accomplish this, but it hasn't done so yet. I feel like we get the benefit of being in the future of when this book was written, right? Like this book was written over 80 years ago, but we, and at the time of the writing, I guess, you know, all they knew was what they knew then. But we have the advantage of seeing that in all these years, nothing else has replaced it, you know? And so it's even more, like we kind of get more proof than they did. I don't feel like we need any more proof than that, you know? So I think with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Debbie. Just a general reminder, we do value your experience, but we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order for that others might be able to share their experience as well on the line today. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, tomorrow is your day to come back to share. In the meantime, I'll take a list of a few more people. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, your state, I can.
Hi, this is
down.
Sarah from New York.
Sarah,
well,
New York.
Louisiana.
Where's Noelle from? Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Did I hear Tiffany? Is that what I heard?
Yes, Tiffany P. in Texas.
Thanks, Tiffany.
Chris with a K from California.
Chris from California.
Ann R.
Ivy, did I hear Ivy and Ann? I just wrapped there just in case we run out of time. And then I missed a couple of last first initial of the last names, and they'll let me know that, I'm sure. Okay, let's go. With this one, I have Sarah from New York, Noelle, Tiffany, Chris, Ivy, and Ann. Hi, Sarah. First initial of your last name, please.
This is Sarah B. from New York City. Thank you so much. Grateful recovering compulsive overeater and anorexic. And thank you so much, Sherry. I really, really related. They say if you stick around long enough, you finally... or you do get to hear your story. And I really thought I was the only one that gained so much weight in a very short amount of time. I was underweight, and then when life wasn't perfect, wow, a different version of the disease got super ignited. And I really needed a program for life. So I so related to what you said. It was like everything got broken, and there really was, I really, really, I have no doubt that the food will bring me down. And it did. And I've been in OA for a long time, thank God. The 12 steps have helped me get through life. And the Visions program has really helped me clean up my food plan and really get in touch with those foods that are just not good for me, not working for me. And I feel I have a clearer path to my higher power, more recovery, clearer thinking, and I just love the line in this paragraph as well, where there's no such thing as making a normal drinker out of an alcoholic. And I have such proof, and going through the steps in the big book brings back my memories, which are tough to handle because they were difficult, but it keeps it green. And I really love hearing the experience, strength, and hope of other members. So thank you for sharing that, because it was a pretty tough time, and it's good to know I'm not alone. So thanks, everybody, for being here.
Thank you so much. And that was Sarah B. from New York. Noelle, first and last of your last name, please. You're up.
Hi, this is Noelle E. from Louisiana. Thank you, everyone, for your service. This line, there's nothing like the way that people share this line. And this passage is so it's so important for me to hear right now, because I just this past weekend, I have three children under six, and my husband and I got away for one night for the weekend. And you know, eating at a restaurant and, you know, asking them to take all of the things off of my meal that I couldn't have, and you know, saying, oh, do we want a coffee at this time? Just things like that, that I had to be like, well, no, I can't do that. It feels, it feels like walking on new legs, or like prosthetics, or like walking without legs, however you want to say it, because it's never going to be like it was before, but also thank God it's never going to be like it was before. And I, you know, I am slowly finding that out through every day. I learn more and more. God is showing me more and more. But like someone just shared, thank God. There's never, I say this a lot about things, that there's never been a better time to be alive. And the person who just said that about being, you know, having, being at this stage in reading this book, that it's proven that this is what it takes and nothing else works. We're so lucky. I also have had 3 C-sections, so I say that all the time about that. I'm like, there's never been a better time out to be alive, because 100 years ago I would have been dead. And that's, you know, that's the truth with this too. And I can't, I just can't be more grateful for the way that God teaches it, and also for how much work it is. I have been desperate to do anything that feels like loving myself and connecting with my higher power, and reading this book and being with all of you is long overdue in my life, and I'm never going back. So thank you for everybody, and I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Noelle. That's Noelle A. from Louisiana. Up next is Tiffany P. from Texas, and Chris, you'll follow Tiffany. Hi, Tiffany.
Good morning, Tiffany P. in Texas. Thank you for to the moderator and everyone on the line. You know, I have a fellow who's a friend who often says, once a pickle, never a cucumber, right? And that's a succinct way of putting this paragraph, right? Like, there's no going back for me. You know, once a compulsive overeater, never going back to a normal eater. And for me, I don't even believe there was ever a time I was a normal eater. So, you know, there's only, you know, this book tells me there's only 2 roads I can go down, right? I can seek the spiritual solution, or I can keep going down the path I was going. You know, thank God that science hasn't discovered some magical pill, right? There are medications and surgeries and things that science has discovered, but thank God none of them worked for me, right? Because it would still keep me in that delusion that food and weight was my real problem, right? I came in years ago to program thinking food and weight was my problem. If I could just lose enough weight and somehow eat normally or like other people, that everything would be okay. And that was the delusion that needed to be smashed, because food is a symptom of my real problem. My real problem is life, right? The unmanageability of life. I don't know how to deal with the day-to-day, the feelings, the internal unmanageability of life. And that is what I needed a solution for. And I was using food for that solution, right? And so it wasn't until I came in and was introduced to this book that I started to learn that my higher power is the solution to all of my problems. And when I work these steps, that's how I get to my to the spiritual solution that is my higher power. You know, and that really resonates with me every day, but especially right now I'm going through somewhat of a difficult time. Things are stressful. Life is happening, right? But life happens. And I just resonate with so many people who've expressed their gratitude, because I'm so grateful today that I have this program, that I have a higher power in my life, right? That the refrigerator is not my solution. And so, you know, thank God for, you know, the diet pills that didn't work, right? Because those would have never brought me to God, and that is what I need today. That's what I wanted to share. So thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Let's see. We're looking at Chris A. then from California up next, and then Ivy, you'll follow. Hi, Chris.
Hi, this is Chris. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater, and
It says, in some instances, there have been brief recovery followed always by a still worse relapse. And it has taken me a long time to come to a place where I truly believe I will not ever be like a normal eater. And, you know, through my life, I've had some really good times and moments of and seasons of what I would call recovery, where I had, you know, clarity of mind, good relationships, feeling like, you know, God was using the gifts he's given me to, you know, live out his purposes. And because of that, and very, very good food plan, without the substances that cause my brain to start chattering and start to crave things. I've had all of that. And in this last, but it always ended in me being convinced I was a normal eater again. And this last couple of years, you know, I had probably one of the most solid periods of time where I felt such clarity. But again, started to convince myself I was a normal eater. And this is the first time where I really see the truth of the progression of the disease and worse relapse that comes. And so ended up gaining a significant amount of weight in a very quick period of time. And so as I looked at things, I've got a brother who's in recovery with AA, and I realized I have to have something with ongoing support. And so I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be here in recovery. And, you know, a lot of things I've tasted, I want long term. I want it one day at a time, long term. I want, you know, freedom, a mind that is not cluttered with chatter about food. I want body neutrality, where I'm just not thinking about my body one way or the other, how bad it looks, how good it looks, just neutrality, so that I'm more available, have a deeper relationship with God, and really feel like I am truly available to live without shame and to live out his purposes. So I'm just grateful for all of you, and thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Oh, that was Chris A. from California. Now we're looking for Ivy S. from California. And then after that, we're going to be looking for Ann R. Ivy, now's your 3 minutes.
Ivy S. from California, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, great. Ivy S. from California. Yeah, I like this, this paragraph. We are like men who have lost their legs. They never grow new ones. Sometimes I hear, or I should say often I hear this shared at meetings, and sometimes I can kind of tune it out a little bit, but really this meeting, studying this book, it just refocuses it for me, and I do like the visual. I do like the visual of having lost my legs. I can never grow new ones, and just identifying in with this paragraph. And for me, this speaks to me of the insanity of the compulsive overeating, my compulsive overeating, the insanity to think that I can grow new legs when I have lost my legs, you know. And yet that is my disease, the obsession of the mind for me and my own experiences with the food of compulsive overeating and the bulimia that follows. Yeah, and, you know, like other people have shared, knowing the that, you know, one bite is never enough. And then, you know, like I've heard at meetings, you know, I take the bite and then the bite takes me, and where I end up, I, you know, I don't really know, you know, but it's usually not a good place, you know, just that despair and hopelessness that returns. And so to me, that's what it says is just the insanity, when I pick up again, you know, so also it speaks to me of, you know, it's just a daily reprieve for me. It's just one day at a time for me, because I have experienced the that insanity of thinking I can grow new legs. You know, this bite won't hurt me this time. Watch me do it now. And then, of course, returning to that whole insanity. And the other part in that paragraph where it says, in some instances, there has been brief recovery followed always by still worse relapse. And for me, that speaks of the just the subtlety of the disease. You know, it's so subtle. You know, it's just one bite. It's just one bite. Nothing will happen. And of course, then the still worse relapse. And how do I know that? Is by my own story. It has happened, you know, countless times. So, you know, I just take it one day at a time, one day at a time, man. You know, I show up for my meetings, work the steps to the best of my ability, and, you know, just take it one day at a time because it's God's grace. And I'm so grateful for this meeting. Yesterday I drove for like 10 hours and I got to listen to the recording and just grateful for that. So thank you. I'll pass.
Thanks, Ivy S. from California. And the last person to share today, providing it's 3 minutes, will be Ann R. from California. Good morning, Ann. Your 3 minutes start now. Well, let
Hi,
me
good
wait
morning,
until you
everybody.
Come up. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. My name's Ann R. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I wanted to claim my seat today here in this meeting. I am still struggling, and the followed always by a still worse relapse is like jumping off the page at me today. I'm so grateful for this meeting. Thank you, everyone who makes it possible, because I have been in 12-step programs, oh my gosh, over 30 years, and the book that I opened to read this out of has yellow pages. But that doesn't mean anything, because the still needing to be teachable, the still needing to be humble, the still needing to tell you that I haven't got this figured out and I can't do it my way comes from the always a still worse relapse. You know, the word always is so strong. When I was raising my kids and I was older when I had them, we used to go on about the word always, and don't use the word always because you can't count on it. Well, in this case, I can. I can count on the fact that that word always is very strong here. I'm currently struggling with giving up trigger foods. I've been playing with them, dancing with them, and I'm realizing that when I eat, something is triggered inside of me. Go figure. Something is triggered inside of me by the trigger foods. That's why they're called that. And what I'm learning is that term, neutrality with the food, I've had little tiny moments of tasting it, of experiencing it, where I could eat something and the disease inside of me did not get triggered. So I'm in a process of surrendering to this program, surrendering to listening to what happens on visions, surrendering mostly to what I hear about the spirituality, the essence of peace that I hear people share about, that when they give up their trigger foods, they find a peace that surpasses understanding. And I don't mean to be quoting anything that triggers anybody. There's that word again. My ex used to say to me, Ann, you'd be so much better if you could just get rid of all your triggers. Well, what I'm finding is that I have a whole lot more trigger foods, if you will, than what I thought I did. And I'd just like to thank you all for shining the light in the darkness for me as you continue to speak about the wonderful clean heart, the wonderful spirituality that can be found by working these steps, by surrendering to giving up the trigger foods. Thank you for listening. God bless you all.
Thank you so much, Ann R. from California, and that's a wrap. That will conclude the recorded portion of this meeting after we say our closing statement and say the serenity prayer together. But don't go away. We have another 10 minutes or so to wrap up with an unrecorded portion of this meeting, so join us clear to the top of the hour if you're able to do so. But in the meantime, thank you, everyone, for those that shared today and those that made this meeting possible. Team Tuesday and all their support and loyalty and dedication to the cause of this recovered life for the still suffering compulsive overeater. Thank you. Thank you for joining in this effort. So if we could, I'd like to have Don B. please read from page 164 in the big book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and we'll follow that with a serenity prayer, saying that together. Hi, Don.
Good morning. This is Don B., recovered from Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.